This is the Truth Hurts program. Oh, how I wish there were more pressing and important things to talk about than the Joe Biden document debacle. We could talk about his inflation, his recession, his empty shelves, his supply chain shortages, his depletion of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, his disastrous foreign policy, his crime wave sweeping the nation, his disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. We could talk about him turning over an entire free democratic society to the most hated terrorist organization on planet Earth. But right now, all eyes seem to be focused on diverting your attention away from Biden's other disasters, all because he has some illegally obtained and maintained classified top secret national security related documents illegally in his possession. I'm going to read some headlines to you here, if you don't mind, just to give you an idea of how bad things are. Classified documents scandal. Biden knows better. How about National Archives blows off Republican Oversight Committee request for info on Biden classified documents. The White House's anemic response to finding even more documents at Biden's Delaware home. Biden's immigration crisis. Time for the president and the new Congress to find lasting bipartisan solution. Well, that's not talking about his document scandal. So there's one. Is the media giving Joe Biden a pass? We talked about that one yesterday, but it's reared its ugly head again. Talked about how nasty Nancy Pelosi is upset with NBC for actually covering the Biden document story. I bet she changes her mind this morning. She probably can't wait for MSNBC to report wall-to-wall coverage on finding 12 pieces of paper at former Vice President Mike Pence's house. Anything to shift the blame away from Joe Biden, right? Here's a headline. Former Trump DOJ aide says Biden team should be nervous about classified documents probe because federal prosecutors are like hunting dogs who like to come back with something in their mouth. I'm not going into that one in detail. Biden classified documents scandal fits the pattern of an influence operation, according to Representative Jim Comer. Another batch of documents found at Biden's home. Biden's Lex classified documents defense may be Corn Pop did it. That's another person ripping off Steve Z in the Truth Hurts program. We talked about the five questions surrounding those documents. Here's CNN's FBI search deepens political implications of Biden document discoveries. Department of Justice weighs expanding the document search. Democrats are now critical of Biden's document dilemma. What we should know about the Biden document drama. Is Joe Biden's classified documents drama getting worse? Of course it is. What if I told you all the fuss over the documents found in Biden's possession really won't matter in the long and short? Biden document saga largely the same as Trump's with one key difference. We talked about that one yesterday. Here's one entitled Biden's Transparency Claims Have Lost All Credibility. That was in National Review, and that is true. How about Sarah Huckabee Sanders calls out the Biden White House, stating that Karine Jean-Pierre has a terrible story to tell. Oh, and she does. Fox News reports Biden's document scandal demands two things must happen to restore public trust. The next article, Biden administration gives left-wing groups hundreds of millions of dollars to help illegal immigrants fight against deportation. All right, we'll get into this one real quick. Two left-wing nonprofits have combined to rake in hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer-backed government contracts since Biden took office. A vast majority of the money is going towards efforts to keep illegal, criminal, law-breaking, trespassing, invading migrants here in the United States of America. The Vera Institute of Justice, a New York-based group that views immigration enforcement agencies as a threat to civil liberties, has been the primary breadwinner over the past 2 years, collecting $350 million from government contracts for immigration services. The Acacia Center for Justice, a new nonprofit linked to the Vera Institute and another left-wing immigration group, has pocketed tens of millions in federal contracts. These progressive liberal woke groups have landed contracts amid the escalating border crisis of Mr. Joe Biden, which in December of 2022 alone saw 250,000 trespassing illegal invaders at the southern border. That's a record high as the Biden era created crisis enters its third year. This radical left-wing group received a $171 million Health and Human Services funded contract in March to help so-called unaccompanied minors in their attempt to avoid deportation. This is according to their records. The contract has since paid out $180 million with subsequent and supplemental agreements as of December. Vera has secured another large government contract since 2021, including $168 million in March for the same purpose of helping illegal criminal law-breaking invaders avoid being deported. This must stop. If you're here illegally, you need to go back where you came from. Just like if Joe Biden is in possession of classified documents he did not have the authority to possess, he should be locked up. All right, now back to the media bashing of Joe Biden. It's about time. We're into year three, and they're finally starting to say bad things about this groper and cheat. The Hill reports the truth about Biden's document debacle. He did not self-report, and that's true. He had a lawyer say something months later after he got caught. He got caught, the key operative words here. The headline in the Washington Examiner, Biden's Senate records should be searched in classified documents case, watchdogs say, and that is absolutely true. Also in the Washington Examiner, National Archives misses House of Representatives' deadline to turn over Biden classified document information. The House Oversight Committee set a deadline for the National Archives to turn over information. But like anything, the Republicans are being ignored because Biden and the Democrats don't have any respect for them. The publication 1945 says Joe Biden is in a world of trouble. What did he know? When did he know it? Why was it not reported in a timely manner? True. New York Post's article headline, lawsuit seeks FBI records on censoring the Post's Hunter Biden laptop stories. A watchdog group said on Tuesday it is suing to get FBI files that could shed light on the suppression of the Post's Hunter Biden laptop scoop that directly link President Biden to his family's foreign business deals. Judicial Watch filed a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit in a D.C. federal court, noting the cryptic message between Twitter execs and the FBI at the same time of the pre-election censorship of information about the now confirmed to be authentic Hunter Biden laptop. San Francisco FBI agent Elvis Chan sent 10 documents to Twitter's then head of site integrity, Yoel Roth, through Teleporter, a one-way communications channel from the FBI to Twitter, on the evening before the release of the Post's story on the laptop, the group noted in a statement. They hid the story to affect the election. Newsweek headline, Minefield Lies Ahead for Biden in the Documents Scandal, piece written by Mark Davis. Now, you know Mr. Ron Klain, the chief of staff of the Biden Crime Administration, is stepping down, and it is reported that Jeff Zients, the White House chief of staff, now had reportedly met with Hunter Biden multiple times in 2016. A report claims that Zients met with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden twice in February 2016 at the U.S. Naval Observatory, once again in May 2016. This according to emails obtained from Hunter Biden's laptop. This Biden crime family syndicate runs deep, my friends. And now, as payback, Mr. Jeff Zients is the new White House chief of staff. Isn't that nice? How you just pay your friends for the corruption by giving them cushy jobs in the government? I mentioned earlier, and here's another headline, National Archives blows off Republican oversight request for info on Biden classified documents. And here's another article in The Hill written by Katie Pavlich. Classified document scandal. Biden knows better. When Joe Biden ran for the White House against Trump in 2020, he made the case to the American people he would restore structure, competence, character, and abide by the rules. He said it was a time to return to the norms in Washington, saying the adults are back in charge. Remember, all the liberal outlets kept parroting all of those comments on television? But here we are a few years later. It turns out that Biden has been breaking the norms for at least a decade by hoarding classified information he was not entitled to have. After the reveal of the first batch of documents, you could have probably written it off as a careless error. But now that we know at least five locations, which included documents that Biden had illegally obtained while he was a senator and while he was the vice president, prove that there is no transparency, there is no playing by the rules, and Joe Biden simply wants a pass. All right, enough about Biden documents for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. Let's look into some other articles that might be of note. Here's Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams in Georgia. Her advisor says that the recent burning of police cars, smashing of windows, is not violence. After the anti-cop chaos, the insurrection going on in Atlanta. Top advisor for Stacey Abrams' voting rights nonprofit defended the anti-police activists who set a police car ablaze and smashed windows while protesting the death of some thug last weekend in Atlanta. Marissa Pyle, a senior rapid response manager in Abrams' Fair Fight Action, who also worked as a senior manager for Abrams' One Georgia Leadership Committee during her most recent failed Georgia governor's run, rushed to defend those anti-police protesters and the ensuing insurrection and chaos that followed. This Ms. Pyle wrote on Twitter, "You cannot commit violence against a window or a car. Killing a human? Now that is violence. Shame on Atlanta leaders who fall into the same tired path of protecting property while our people are murdered by their police." That's a quote. Her tweet followed Saturday's protests in Atlanta, which supposedly began peacefully, but as when all of these so-called peaceful protests are involving 13% hyphenated American minority thugs, it devolved into riots that saw masked activists throwing rocks, setting fires, burning a police car, shattering business windows, vandalizing walls with anti-police graffiti, and committing violence against people. The cops only managed to arrest six protesters and charge them with misdemeanor and felony charges, including known terrorism. Two suspects bonded out. The others were denied bond. These activists were out to protest the death of Manuel Esteban Paez Terán, 26, who was killed by police Wednesday after refusing demands and after firing a gun at state troopers at the site of a highly protested Atlanta public safety training facility. The so-called environmental activists, identified as a non-binary person who went by the name Tortuga Guita, Little Turtle, and they used they, it pronouns. An individual without warning shot a Georgia State Patrol trooper, according to the Georgia Bureau of Investigations. The Georgia State Patrol trooper happened to be wearing a bulletproof vest, was shot in the abdomen. He was last listed in stable condition, recovering from surgery, but Manuel, Little Turtle, not so much. He got dead like he was supposed to get dead for shooting at a cop. You're not supposed to shoot at the police, Manuel. And now, these people in Atlanta refuse to condemn the violence that started the whole mess. Let me go back to some media Biden bashing of President Biden for just a moment here. 20 United States states have slapped the Biden administration with a lawsuit over his new so-called immigrant parole program. 20 states and a Trump-aligned legal group, they have to put Trump in there. These guys, they can't satisfy themselves. They can't gratify themselves unless they have some kind of way of tying people to Donald Trump. It's like a sick, twisted fixation. They cannot help themselves. They don't feel right. They can't probably perform sexually unless they write a story every day to bash Donald Trump. 20 states and a Trump-aligned legal group have sued the Biden administration over its plans to expand a parole program that would allow a total of 120,000 immigrants from four countries to apply for admission from their home and then simply be walked across the red carpet into the United States every single month under the Biden administration's rules. Under Biden's disastrous parole program, 1,440,000 illegals will just be able to walk across the red carpet, be welcomed into the United States with open arms. Don't forget to vote Democrat. That's the way Biden wants it. Texas and the America First Legal Group led the lawsuit filed Tuesday against the Department of Homeland Security in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Texas. This legal action states that the White House's recently announced parole change is illegal because it circumvented Congress, the only body allowed to determine immigration levels, according to our Constitution. But you see, Biden doesn't believe in our Constitution. The Democrats don't believe in the Constitution unless they use it to defend their own illegal, unethical, immoral, and questionable actions, acts, and deeds. The Department of Homeland Security, DHS or Department, has listed, under false pretense of preventing aliens from unlawfully crossing the border between ports of entry, has effectively created a new visa program without the formalities of legislation from Congress by announcing that it will permit up to 360,000 aliens annually from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela to be paroled into the United States for 2 years or longer and with eligibility for employment authorization. That's what the lawsuit says. Biden is now going to foreign countries to pre-approve innumerable illegal aliens to flood into our country without any legal basis whatsoever. It is illegal, unconstitutional, and contemptible. But Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, told hundreds of mayors gathered in Washington, D.C. for the U.S. Conference of Mayors last week that the Biden administration's requirement that immigrants from top-sending countries seek appointments with U.S. officials rather than entering illegally was bearing results with fewer people being arrested for illegally crossing. Bottom line, they're going to start letting the illegals in and stop enforcing the border. These Border Patrol agents, people I know, people I have worked with, are telling me, yes, we've been called away from our primary duties as Border Patrol agents to control illegal entry, and now we're providing babysitting service, rideshare service, hotel accommodations, food runs. Mayorkas said during the speech last Thursday, quote, 2 weeks ago, we announced new lawful pathways for non-citizens seeking relief in the United States, accompanied by a consequence regime for those who do not avail themselves of those processes. Since then, encounters from the targeted countries dropped off significantly. You stopped encountering them. You stopped searching for them, Mr. Mayorkas. And your statement is a bold-faced lie. A new lawful pathway for non-citizens? Wrong. It's not lawful because it hasn't gone through Congress. Since Joe Biden took office 2 years and 4 days ago, 5.2 million people have been caught attempting to enter without authorization. Most of them came over the land border without permission. This is straight from U.S. Customs and Border Protection data. More than 1.5 million people were released from federal custody and simply allowed to roam freely throughout the United States to await so-called court hearings, which may not occur for as many as 10 years down the road. So they get to live here illegally, be here illegally, breed here illegally, steal illegally. It's perfectly okay. The launch of the new CBP One app this month focuses on deterring citizens of those four nations who have been the drivers in the migrant surge across the Western Hemisphere since the pandemic began. Those citizens are not able to be flown back by the U.S. government because receiving governments simply won't take them back. Those four countries, amongst others, are happy to get rid of these dregs of their society, these non-producers, these criminals, these disease carriers, these lawbreakers, these ne'er-do-wells, these people with no skills and no education. Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela, they are ecstatic to get rid of their less desirables. Send them to the United States, and then refuse to take them back when we catch them here. The other states brave enough to sign on to this lawsuit were Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Idaho, Florida, Iowa, Kentucky, Kansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, Montana, Missouri, Ohio, Nebraska, Tennessee, Utah, West Virginia, South Carolina, and Wyoming. Congratulations, you guys, for having the balls to stand up to this illegal, unconstitutional action by the Biden administration. Let me switch gears here. California has proposed an exit tax. Remember the song by the Eagles, the Hotel California? You can check out any time, but you can never leave. They've modified the words to that song in California now. You can check out any time, but your money can never leave. California officials are attempting to put an exit tax on residents who make the decision to get the hell out of California. Charles Payne is a host on the Fox Business Channel, and he explained why those chasing the American dream need to escape from California. He said, if you're making money, you think you're going to make more money. If you're busting your butt trying to make the American dream, move now if you can. This exit tax was devised several years ago by Democratic politicians seeking to tax residents even after they leave the state of California. Payne said, it's like the song Hotel California. You can check out any time you like, but your wallet can never leave. It's really nuts. We used to hear things like this a lot from President Obama. And now we hear it a lot from Elizabeth Warren. That if you walk on the sidewalk, somehow the state is partly responsible for your success. Forget about the taxes you pay every day. The sales taxes, the use taxes, the registrations. Forget about the blood, sweat, and tears you put into making a successful business. Forget about your savings. Forget about your sacrifice. The mere fact that these people live in California somehow makes them feel that you owe California, and how dare you attempt to leave. An economic expert explained how the threshold will start with billionaires and progressively get lower, analyzing the justification behind shocking policies aimed at recouping money the state may have invested in businesses and individuals. Right now in this country, the most frugal group of Americans are the wealthiest Americans out there. They're trading down when they go shopping. They're not buying stuff they can't afford. They're smart. They save. They believe in the long term. But California seeks to tax them even as they leave the state for greener pastures. There's an article written by Adam Shaw on Fox News. It says, Connecticut state bill will now allow illegal immigrants to vote in state elections. Only the latest push in a number of Democrat states to broaden the voting to include non-citizens. The proposed legislation would amend the state's constitution to allow undocumented immigrants who are residents of the state to be admitted as electors for the purposes of voting in municipal and state elections. Well, sure, let's just keep importing more Democrat votes, and we'll give them more bribery so they'll keep voting Democrat. An illegal immigrant sympathizer, State Representative Juan Candelaria, introduced the proposal for the amendment. He told a local newspaper he doesn't expect the bill to pass, but it will open up a debate for the future. He said, quote, when we talk about undocumented individuals, they are part of our fabric of this nation and of the state. They are part of the community and they should have a voice. People might not be amicable to this idea and I respect their opinion, but at least by having the process, we can have a dialogue and we can have a debate. That's all I want. Republicans, of course, oppose the bill. Because illegal is illegal is illegal. It is completely outrageous. You might recall last year, the city of Washington, D.C.'s council voted to advance a bill that would allow illegal criminal non-citizens to vote if they were otherwise qualified to vote. And that sparked significant pushback from federal lawmakers on the Hill who moved to block it. On Monday, Vermont's Supreme Court ruled that non-citizens may continue to vote in municipal elections in the city of Montpelier. So what is the point of even trying to be a legal United States taxpaying citizen? Hell, I might go cross the border into Mexico today and then come back across illegally. And when they ask me for my papers, I'll just tell them my name is Juan Julio Gonzalez and that I know speaky English and that I am seeking asylum. Then, under my false name of Juan Julio Gonzalez, I can apply for all the benefits Joe Biden is giving. I'll get new clothes, new shoes, a nice new cell phone paid for by the government. I'll get a free bus ride to a city of my choice. And there, I can apply for all the government benefits. Social Security, welfare, food stamps, free housing, free medical care, maybe a food stipend, some food stamps, some WIC for my kids. Senor. Sounds like what I need to be doing starting today. You remember when Nancy Pelosi kicked people of the Republican Party off of committees in the House of Representatives because she just didn't like what they said or what they did or how their positions may have fallen on certain issues? Everyone called her a hero and said she was brave for doing that. But now that Kevin McCarthy has kicked off Schiff, Swalwell, and Omar, they're crying foul. They're saying this is political vengeance. Who cares? You're out. You don't deserve to be on the committees, and he has the right to kick you off. But the new hero of the Democrat House of Representatives, Hakeem Jeffries, said the legislators that were kicked off were eminently qualified, and they had experience justifying positions overseeing the nation's intelligence community. Schiff and Swalwell had indeed previously served on the House Intelligence Committee, and Omar served on the Foreign Affairs Committee, where they all did lousy jobs and spent their entire time on those committees only on witch hunts against Donald Trump and Republicans. You get what you get, and that's it. And finally, on this edition of the Truth Hurts program, Heather Hamilton writes in the Washington Examiner, electric vehicles don't pass shipping line safety assessments, and the owners of those shipping lines say we will never compromise. The shipping line Havila Kaistruten has banned all hybrid and electric vehicles from being shipped on their boats due to the fire and explosion risk that electric vehicles pose. After a safety analysis, the Norwegian shipping company deemed that its vessels are unable to handle the fires that get caused by electric vehicles' defective lithium-ion batteries. Maritime Executive magazine was told, a possible fire in electric, hybrid, or hydrogen cars will require external rescue efforts and could put the people on board, as well as the ships themselves, at risk. The ban on those vehicles being shipped overseas was purely a safety assessment. The company is looking for ways to lower risks that allow for the transport of electric vehicles in the future, but as of right now, their justification is, quote, an electric car fire will be very hot, there may be a risk of explosion, and toxic gases will be released. Havila Kaistruten communications manager Lars Vangstein said, we will never compromise with the safety of the passengers and crew. When we get such a clear conclusion on a risk assessment, the decision is very simple, even if it is difficult for some. The shipping line says it will continue to transport gasoline-powered vehicles per its risk analysis because, quote, a possible fire in fossil fuel vehicles will be able to be handled by the systems and the crew we have on board, unquote. Electrical vehicle fires linked to lithium-ion batteries have been a concern for insurance companies. Last year, the insurance giant Allianz reportedly issued a warning citing the primary hazards of fire explosion, toxic gases, and thermal runaway as their reason to not insure electric cars. I'm sure more companies will follow. And so we come to the end of another broadcast here on the Truth Hurts Program Network. Go out there and make it a great day, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye for now. Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I apologize if you were offended, but I retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. This program was pre-recorded.